This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Thursday, the 28th of June. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we're talking all things Pride Cup, as we head to Shepparton's Pride Cup on the weekend and ask the question, are we in danger of Pride Cup fatigue? What does an event like Pride Cup mean to the local community who hold the event? And how can it change the hearts and minds to not only create a more inclusive sporting club, but community as well?
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Pride Cup began as a powerful gesture of mateship in a local footy club in country Victoria and has grown into a national movement for change that transcends the sport and has even influenced inclusion in the AFL. Last weekend, there were Pride Cups in both Hamilton and Shepparton, and this weekend we have a Pride Cup in Mordialloc, which begs the question, are we in danger of Pride Cup fatigue? Dean Arcuri heads to Shepparton to find out.
There can be backlash, and there's possibly going to be backlash. I see you've got the all-inclusive toilet signs. Someone, you know, I don't think Eddie had stadium, I don't think this is going to be in the front. It's all right, relax, Mayor. I don't think you're going to be in the front page of Herald Sun for doing that. But it does make everybody feel really included. And it's the small things that you can do that make an absolute huge difference in this space. Because it does take a little bit of courage to step up and be the teams to host a Pride game, and it still does. I know we live in 2018 and everybody thinks that the world, you know, is an inclusive place, but we know that it's not.
Are you worried that a year from now we might have Pride match fatigue?
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, I might, because I have to go to them all, but I think every community deserves to experience this.
That was Jason Ball and Victoria's Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, Rowena Allen, at the Shepparton Pride Cup on the weekend, where a women's and men's football team and a women's netball team battled it out for three Pride Cups and highlighted the importance of inclusion and acceptance of LGBTI people in sport in regional spaces. That wasn't the only Pride Cup to happen last weekend, or even in the past month, with a Pride football match in Hamilton on the same day, and also previously in Sandringham, Frankston and Gippsland in Victoria. And that's just playing football and netball. Coming up, we've got an ice hockey Pride match and even a roller derby Pride match here in Victoria. So it begs the question, are we in danger of Pride Cup fatigue? Here's what Jason Ball, founder of the Pride Cup, had to say when I asked him.
Maybe it's not going to be possible for us to get around and be at every one, but every single community out there can benefit from the power of having a football club show leadership on LGBTI inclusion.
One of the fantastic things about having the Pride Cup go around to so many regional spaces is the narrative really changes from what about that young kid who might not know what his sexuality is that's watching on the field to the reality that everyone gets an opportunity to come and stand together in their local community and show a little bit of pride. Pride.
Absolutely. The most powerful thing is about giving allies a platform to be visible in their support of LGBTI people. It's taking the focus off gay players and it's putting it on the rest of the community to show leadership. And the Pride Cups, like, absolutely is the epitome of community in terms of the way in which it brings people together. So here today in Shepparton, we've got local government, we've got the football clubs from both teams, we've got the football league, we've got local councillors, we've got our local LGBTI community and GV Pride. These are people who don't always talk to each other, but here they've come together and they're working together to organise this event. It's bringing together disparate communities to achieve amazing things.
And I have to admit that Jason is 100% right. In the past 5 years, I can't tell you how many Pride games I've attended or been a part of that have helped to make things more inclusive for LGBTI people in sport. And when it was announced that the Pride Cup was going national, I'll admit, a part of me was wondering, are you guys crazy? Are we going to end up having Pride matches every single weekend? I mean, won't we water down the message? But going to Shepparton's Pride Cup on the weekend, it reminded me of one very important fact. It's not about me. It's not for me. It's for the communities that want to find a way to show their support their way. It's for the LGBTI people that are part of that community that get to stand a little taller and feel included. And it's for the allies who want to do their bit to show their support. And finally, they have a way they can do that as a part of their own community without having it seem tokenistic. While we can acknowledge that last year was particularly hard on LGBTI Australians, we have to remember that our allies saw what we went through as well. We can sometimes forget that, and also forget that they want to do something more. And thanks to the Pride Cups in regional spaces, they have the ability to do something more within their own community. A sentiment that the Mayor of Greater Shepparton, Kim O'Keefe, shared.
Today, to me, is a wonderful day of being united and also showing the support in the sporting arena that's such a landmark and it's such a platform to actually get the message out. Because as we know, sporting affects all walks of life, all types of sporting sports that are out there. And I think the more people that we give these type of events awareness of, it's going to create more of these type of events. And that's very exciting on my behalf.
Look, as a gay person who lives in the city, I admit that I can often forget what it's like for people in our communities in regional spaces. And at the Shepparton Pride Cup, I was constantly reminded that the rainbow on the footy field, the inclusive toilets, the language, all of this was for their own community, as Rowena Allen reminded us. This community had worked hard to create a more inclusive environment for every single person.
My story in Shepparton goes back over 25 years ago. I came up here for 12 months, I stayed for 20 years, but came up as the youth worker for the City of Greater Shepparton. And that was a long time ago now. What was the community development work of Shepparton? And I, as youth workers sit at the day, we got focused on Wind Television. And the day after, my house was graffitied, my front fence was graffitied, and I had letters thrown on the roof of my house. And over the period of time in Shepparton, I was physically assaulted. And just all because I set up an LGBTI. Well, in fact, it was just a gay and lesbian then. We weren't doing the BT and I, or the bit on the end. And it was the very first rural support group for gay and lesbian young people. Now, Shepparton should be really proud of that, I reckon, because you were the first, and then it turned into a statewide network, and now we have a national network of support groups for LGBTI young people, and it all happened out of Shepparton. The other thing that happened in Shepparton just recently was, I don't know if you knew, but you hosted the statewide gathering of Aboriginal LGBTI and people retreat with your elders here in Shepparton at Park Lake and over at the co-op and the keeping place and everything. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have come out of Shepparton, I think, in the LGBTI space that other communities look at. And, I'm in Melbourne now most of the time. And people say, you know, when we do rural or regional roadshows, they go, well, how did Shepparton do it, you know? And he kind of likes to party on the Pride Games stuff, gang, but better than late than never. But we know that sport is such an incredible protective factor for particularly young people in rural and regional. So if you're not involved in a church or a group or a sports club, you know that you can be on the outer anyway. And we also know that 70 to 80% of LGBTI people have been discriminated in sport, or at sport, or attending sport as a you know, as a patron or as a participant. And we know that sport's really important. I mean, I was told at a really young age that I couldn't play cricket anymore with the boys. And I think as a protest, I never played sport or any competition sport ever again. And I know my health suffered as a result of that. So we want to make sure that young LGBTI people are playing sport, being healthy, feeling included, and being part of it. And it's about how do we include everyone without excluding anyone? And I think that's the real name of this. It's great to come home and do this. I can't tell you, you know, if you'd said to the, you know, 20, I think I might have been 19 and a half, 20-year-old youth worker who arrived in Shepparton, who was discriminated as a, you know, young baby dyke, I was then completely clueless. One day you'll come back to Shepparton as the Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality to host a Pride game. I would have said you're insane. So well done, Shepparton. You've come such a long way. Congratulations.
Damien Stevens, the Secretary of Goulburn Valley Pride Incorporated and Shepparton Pride Cup organiser, shared how truly proud he was on the day, seeing his community come together on so many levels and putting the work in and off the field in the lead up to the day to make sure they were creating a safe and inviting space for all.
For me personally, walking onto the ground today, seeing all of the supporters, seeing all the rainbows, the visibility, showcasing diversity and inclusion and pride gave me goosebumps, and so it's a wonderful feeling to have. But many organisations and community individuals, including LGBTI people, have been around the table at the meetings that we've had to put on the event today. That's what good community development and what good community engagement is all about. Including the signs on the walls around the toilets that were referred to earlier, even our own trans community were a part of telling us what wording they wanted on those signs, the imagery, and making sure that this space was inclusive.
So the next time someone asks me if I'm worried about Pride Cup fatigue, I'll happily say hell no and encourage them to go and visit a community celebrating Pride through sport, because you'll get a whole new perspective of what Pride really means.
Just know that you're now part of a network of Pride games all over Victoria and Australia.
I remember going to the very first Pride Cup in Yarra Glen, and I can't wait to see the difference that the Pride Cups will make in 5 years. Hell, I can't wait to see the difference they'll make in just one.
That was Dean Arcuri at the Shepparton Pride Cup.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Pride Cups are not just about a rainbow on the field or the match on the day, but includes educational programs and information training for players, coaches and officials on how to stamp out discriminatory language and make your club more inclusive. It's one thing for a person to come in and tell a club in a regional space how they can improve things, but another thing entirely when a member of their own community does it. And that's what Ellison did in the lead up to the Shepparton Pride Cup, a local player who captured what it means and what it feels to know the clubs are supporting diversity and inclusion.
Well, thanks for having me here today. I was fortunate enough to speak with the two clubs after their training nights with Jason a couple of weeks ago, and that was a really affirming experience for me. I was incredibly nervous, and you couldn't hear a pin drop in the room of either of those rooms while the guys and the girls listened to what we had to say, and just the incredible amount of respect that we had from those groups. It was another part on my journey of just reaffirmation and feeling absolutely fantastic about being back in Shepparton. So my story, a quick rundown, I guess. I grew up in Dookie, and I still love Dookie, and I always will. I was part of the footy netball club there, playing netball. Always wanted to play footy, and I managed to play a few games in the midgets, which was, I think, 11 and under. Mum would only usually let me play if Dad was there, but sometimes I snuck out while she was on canteen duty. So that was good fun. I had one role model back then. There was a girl who was a couple of years older than me at the time, and she had actually paved the way for girls to play in the under-11s footy. I didn't realise it at the time. I just remember watching her going, wow, I want to do what she's doing. So I managed to actually meet up with her a couple of weeks, last year. Her sister-in-law's playing for the Shep Bears now. And she came to watch a match, and it was amazing to have her there to watch. So that was very exciting. Anyway, grew up in Dookie in Shep and went to school in Shep. As I was growing up, I started to think, I don't think I'm like the other girls. I think I think there's something different going on here, but I couldn't really quite put my finger on it. There wasn't really any discussion back in those days. I didn't even have a word for it. So eventually I found a word and went, ooh, homosexual, okay. I'm gonna go and look that up. So I went to the library in Sheff and I found a pre-1960 psychology book, which unfortunately was written at a time when homosexuality was defined as a mental illness. And I went, oh, bugger. This is not great. I've got a mental illness. I can't tell anyone about this. I'm going to have to just keep this under wraps. Fair to say I was very, very scared at the time. So I kept things quiet for a while. You know, towards the end of high school, I told a couple of friends, and one key person who was really, really important to me at that time was a teacher I really trusted, and I confided in her. And I still appreciate to this day the support that she provided me at the time. The one adult in Shepparton that I could talk to and get support from. She will never know how important it was. I think, you know, there's times during that time where things were a bit shaky for me, and I don't know what the result would have been if I hadn't had that kind of support. So I'll always acknowledge her for that. I got to 18, and as you know, most kids back in the 90s had to go to Melbourne to go to uni. There's a few more opportunities up here now, but part of me just couldn't wait because I thought, well, I can't be myself here in Shepparton. I need to go where there's other people. So I moved to Melbourne and I found women's football. And that was just the best thing ever. I finally got to play football as an adult. I'd always loved footy. And what we found in Melbourne with footy was that very different to men's footy. Women's footy in Melbourne is predominantly lesbians. There's a lot of straight women as well, but I found myself a community. And I think that was the really, really key thing. I think it's a lot, I believe it's a lot harder for guys to come out playing footy than it is for the girls. But for me, it was just an amazing experience of having a whole bunch of people that were the same as me around me, that we could talk and understand each other. And that really helped my transition moving from a very naive country girl moving to the city. And so for me, sport and clubs, whether it's footy, netball, soccer, whatever it is, are such a key link to community, and it provides an amazing support around people. It's like having an extra family or an extended family. So played footy in Melbourne for a number of years and had a ball. And then a couple of years ago, my sister lost her husband in an accident, and we sort of sat on that for a little while. And my partner, Kat, who's here today, said to me, you need to move home. You actually need to go and be closer to your sister. And I said, yep, I do. But I was a bit scared about moving back to Shep. And Rowe has talked about, it was very interesting to hear your discussions about Shep, because that was how I felt when I left. And a pity you weren't there, you know, pity we couldn't get that a couple of years earlier, but it's a true acknowledgement of the service that you set up for those kids, because there was nothing, and it's so important that it's now happening. Anyway, we moved back to Shep and started to try and sort of, you know, meet some people in the community. And then all of a sudden we heard that Shep Bears were starting a football team. And I'd retired a couple of years before because my knees didn't really work anymore and everything hurt all week during winter. Like, there was just no relief. And I'd spend Sunday afternoon like the Michelin man, covered in ice. But I just couldn't miss the opportunity to be involved in footy back home. And I was so excited. So we joined the team and found ourselves another community back home in Shep. And I just never would have believed that I would have been able to do that. Play footy in Shep, but also have that community around me like that, making such good friends and a club that was embracing us as well. Now we're here today. Unfortunately, I don't play for the Shep Bears anymore. We live in Nathalia and they just started up a team this year. And we're walking distance to the footy oval. So it's a lot more convenient for us. They also wear purple, which is my favourite colour. But again, we've joined that club to join the community. You need to be part of clubs or groups to extend that that sort of circle of support around you. And so we've joined the club there, and from walking down the street not really knowing anyone, now we can't go to the supermarket without allowing an extra 10-15 minutes because you run into someone and you've got to have a chat. So for us, that feeling of joining the community through the football club at Nathalia has been fantastic. But also, I think for a club like Shepparton to host, and Maroopna as well, to join in, to host a club, a game like this is just really exciting for me. I never thought coming back to Shep that there would be so much acceptance, and having the out in the open day, the first one we went to there, I just sat there, just so surprised. It was so exciting. So it's fantastic that we've got you guys on board. Really, really proud of Shepparton and how far we've come, and how it makes it just so much easier for people like me to come home and feel like we're at home.
I just wanted to amplify Alison's words that, especially for young people who are living in rural and regional areas, who are keen to get involved in sport, to be able to have their community, their leaders, their sports heroes and mentors behind them, affirming their gender identity and their sexual orientation, their relationships and their families, is a really wonderful feeling. And there's nothing like being able to feel affirmed within the community that you belong to and the community that you love, especially when it's sport.
That was Alison and Damien Stevens from the Shepparton Pride Cup.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
What started out in 2014 as a celebration match between traditional rivals Yarra Glen and Yarra Junction has turned into a strong symbol for inclusion in Australia's favourite sport right across Victoria. Now, there are a range of Pride Cup games that are held throughout the state and are spreading around the nation. At the Shepparton Pride Cup, the founder of the cup, Jason Ball, reflected on what it means to see inclusion and diversity spread through regional communities through sport.
It was 6 years ago today that I shared my story to the media about what it was like to be gay and play football, what it was like to be in the closet, what it was like to hear homophobic language, what it was like to feel like I had to choose between being myself and playing the game that I loved. And I did that in the hope that it would drive some change within the AFL, so that players and fans and volunteers knew that they didn't have to choose between being themselves and playing the game that I loved. And when I finally did come out to my teammates at Yarra Glen, not only were all of the fears that I had about how they were going to react, they weren't realised, but never could I have imagined that they would stand by my side in the way that they did, and together that we would create, back in 2014, the first Pride Cup, where we decided to paint our 50-metre line rainbow and create rainbow jumpers for both of the teams. And for me, what was so special about that game was how the whole community of Yarra Glen got on board. The local men's shed created rainbow panels and they were displayed in the main street of Yarra Glen on the weekend. We worked in partnership with the AFL and the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission to create the first ever education program designed for players and coaches to help them challenge homophobia, so that more LGBTI people can access the health and wellbeing benefits that come from community sport. And it was an honour to come and speak to the players at Shepparton and Maroopna to share that message and really understand that they are leaders in their community, and we want them to be empowered to have the conversations that will inevitably come up because of their involvement in this day. We want them to understand the symbolism of the rainbow, what it means, what are the challenges that LGBTI people face when it comes to participating in sport, and the role that they can play to make those cultures and those environments more inclusive and welcoming. And when you think about the symbolism of the rainbow, imagine, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see someone wearing your AFL footy team's colours, you know, that's Collingwood, as it is for me, or whoever, you know, that instant feeling of recognition, of belonging, of being part of a community. To LGBTI people, that's what the rainbow represents. And for that symbol of acceptance and understanding and belonging to be shown on a game of country football or a game of AFL football at a national level, it's a message of acceptance coming from a place where historically we have expected or experienced it at least, which makes it incredibly, incredibly powerful. So I want to say a huge thank you to, on behalf of the LGBTI community, to Shepparton, to Maroopna, to the Golden Bay Football League, for what you're doing today. make no mistake, it has a huge impact far beyond the walls of this club rooms. No other event has put LGBTI people, those rainbow colours and allies, into regional media quite like these events. Football clubs, you are the heart of your communities, and when you show leadership on this event, it has the power to create ripple effects and change hearts and minds. And when you look out this afternoon at that rainbow 50-metre line and the players proudly wearing those rainbow jumpers, it becomes something so much more than a game of football. Imagine it through the eyes of a 12-year-old kid from Shepparton who might be struggling to come to terms with who they are, to know that it's okay in football. It's a message of hope. That's what you guys have given to your community. And I hope you feel as proud of your football club, your football clubs, and your league as I do. It's an absolute honour to be here today in Shepparton. And indeed, there is a game also happening on the complete opposite end of the state. In Hamilton, we've seen games in Gippsland, in Kew, in Geelong, and next year in Daylesford, which we're looking forward to. And through the creation of a new organisation, Pride Cup Australia, we are aiming to create resources and how-to guides to empower more local clubs to do games like this, because we know they have a huge impact, and we're only just scratching the surface of what's possible if we can get more clubs on board. And so keep an eye out for that. We were really proud, and I just want to acknowledge Damien as I close, because we included Damien in the promo video of what it means to have a Pride Cup. And we didn't just include a picture of him. We had him, and we had his husband, and we had their baby, and they kissed in the video. And we had it shown on the big screen at Etihad Stadium. And for us, this was really intentional, because that visibility is important. That visibility is a signal to other kids and other people in the community that it's okay. And for that signal to be coming from football, I think it's just the most powerful place, in a place like Australia, where so much of our cultural life is viewed through sport.
That was Jason Ball, founder of the Pride Cup.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.